Notice what the Bible says there in Luke 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass as he, this is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." We see a passage here with 10 men that were lepers, the Bible says, and one of those lepers turned back to give God the glory. The Bible mentions that we're all cleansed, but only one came back to give God thanks. Now, when we look at this passage, we realize that one of these lepers had the reality of life restored in his own life. The Bible talks about how he came back and fell at his feet and gave God the glory. This will indicate to us that Jesus is God and he manifested in the flesh. But do you ever wonder what the purpose of life is? You ever think about why you're here and why you were created and why you're breathing the breath of life? You ever wonder why God put you on this earth? If you were to ask people around the world today, people might ask and give an answer and say, "Oh, well, we're here to live life and live it up. We're here to set up our careers and have goals and maybe get married one day." You'll have different kind of answers from different kind of people, but I want you to see what the scripture talk about in Colossians 1:16. The purpose of our existence, the Bible mentions in this verse, "For by him," that's Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Notice this phrase, all things, that's including you and me, "were created by him and," what are those two words? For him. Did you know that when God created us, he created us for him? He never created us in such a way that would live an independent life outside of God. And we have one leper that turned back to give God thanks and to give glory to God and give him praise and was at his feet, and I believe restored to the purpose of life. Unlike these other 9, they got the gift of God, they got cleansed, they got grace, never came back to give God glory. 1 out of 10 had the purpose of life fulfilled in that day. And as we look and we see, our problem with God is that the fact that we all have leprosy, so to speak. Notice verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village," that's Jesus, "he met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." You know what leprosy is? It's a disease that is contagious. It's actually an awful disease. If you look at this picture, eats away at the skin, and if it's not cleansed, you could be killed. But during that process, if you're not cleansed, you're an outcast of society. As a matter of fact, some of them will have bells, and if they see a leper come, they'll ring the bell and say, "There's a leper coming." And so these 10 lepers were hanging around each other, and from afar they see Jesus coming. Now, let me just say this. Like I said before, everybody is stricken with a disease called sin. So where do we get this disease from? Well, back right from the beginning, the purpose of God was distorted or rejected by Adam and Eve. And God gave Adam and Eve one simple command. He said, "From every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but this tree in the midst of the garden thou shalt not eat. From the time you eat from that tree," the Bible says, "ye shall die."
Isn't God gracious to warn us against that one that can kill us? Well, they disobeyed God and they wanted the forbidden fruit. You know the story. Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed. They partook of the fruit. And therefore, there became a separation. You know, the Bible says they were thrown out of the garden. God sent them out of that garden. You know what that means? Sin separates us from God. These 10 lepers were separated from society. It was just a picture of sin. And our leprosy, if you will, our sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2, this is Isaiah speaking about God's people, his Jews, but the principle is still there. He says, but your iniquities, that sin, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. See what sin does? Separates us from God. And there's a big gap between God and man. And because of sin, God is far from man. But I want you to see first, before we get into the message, what is sin? Sin is rebellion against God. Right in the beginning, Adam and Eve rebelled against God's command. You may say, you know, well, what's so bad about that? Well, this is the whole point. A lot of people don't find rebelling against God's word to be bad and evil and wicked, but it is. To rebel against the one that made us and created us with a purpose is wicked. It's evil. But also we see transgression against the law is sin. The Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, the breaking of the Ten Commandments. That's the moral law of God, God's holy law, his perfection, if you will. And then the Bible says, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Anything that is wrong, biblically wrong, anything that God says is wrong is sin. We do have a moral absolute. We have a truth that is absolute. And it's found in God's word. And God appeals to every single one of us through his word. Which we have a conscience, by the way, that's a gift from God. That we can know if I'm right or wrong. And God appeals to our conscience. As a matter of fact, he may be appealing to your conscience even this morning. Maybe conveying truths to you that I pray that you would not lay aside. You would hear them. You will accept them. You would receive them. They're the word of God. And by the way, the word of God is good for everybody. It's the cure for any kind of sin, sin-sick person. All right, so let's see. Let's have a look here. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I wonder if someone can help me illustrate this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, you want to come and help me? You can stand over here. You're the good sinner. Okay. That means stand over here. You're a moral man. You're good to your family. You do good to your fellow man. But you don't have a relationship with God. Okay? Can you touch the ceiling, by the way? No. Let's just say that ceiling is God's glory, his perfection, God's standard. No matter how good he is or how good that he is to his fellow man, there's no way he can still attain God's perfection. There's a separation there. There's a rejection. No matter how good he does, he still can't get to God. Now, Kapal, you come over here for a moment, if you will. And you can just stand there. He doesn't care about his family. He doesn't care about his neighbor. But he gives to the poor. He's a big giver. As a matter of fact, he gives for a tax rebate. Amen. He has a good company and he's got all this money coming in, gives to the poor, and he lets everyone know about it. But he falls short. He still can't get to God. You're doing a bit better compared to him. But then you have someone like me. Man, I'm the rough as it can be. I swear and steal and drink and fornicate. Oh, I'm just forget. Do I have a knowledge of God? Absolutely. You'd say, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to church, weddings and funerals and Christmas and Easter. But even that sometimes dies down. I might go up and down every now and then. But look, at the end of the day, the Bible says we all fall short of God's glory. Every single person in this room, no matter how good you are, you're still fall short. A lot of people justify themselves because they don't, when they compare themselves to the people in the prison. They say, well, I haven't really killed anybody. That's irrelevant. Mind your business. Focus on your own sin and you find out that you'll fall short. Okay, by the way, the vilest sinner, a murderer, can be forgiven. Yeah, he came for all men, and we're going to see that in a moment. Thank you very much. But the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we see not only the problem of sin, but we see the punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You know, when you work, you get wages. Someone pays you. Well, the payment for our sin, the Bible says, is death. We got a big problem. I was taking this young man home the other day. I bought a car off him and took him home with the car that I bought. And I just told him straight out, we had a half an hour drive, and I said, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be real with me. I want you to be transparent. And he was. I'm going to thank God that he was. I said, what do you think is the greatest problem man has? And he started thinking about it. I said, I want you to think about that. Every single person, what's the greatest problem that a man faces? And he stopped and he continued to think about it. He said, well, I don't know for anyone else, but I know what the greatest problem in my life is. And he said this. He said, it's selfishness. He said, I'm selfish. I said, you know what? Thanks for being honest, but there's a reason why you're selfish, and because of the greatest problem that we have is because of sin. We're rebels against God. We've transgressed against God's law. We're unrighteous people. We've inherited that nature from Adam. And the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that one man is Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Every single one of us are dying, we're decaying, not only physically, but spiritually. We've been separated from God because of sin. You see why people die? People want to blame God for all the diseases and all the murders and all the everything, anything bad that happens, they want to blame God. Speaking to a lady yesterday, and she said, if God was real, why does he allow this and that and this happen to people? I said, why does God get the blame for the sinful man, for the actions of sinful men? Why do you always blame God for it? Why don't men take their own responsibility when they sin or do wrong? Why not? And she goes, well, I don't really believe in him anyway. So I said, why are you so bitter against the one that you don't believe? Why are you so angry at him? You don't even know him. You don't even believe in him, but you're bitter against him. Why? Because I'd say this to you. Because people are rebels against God. And they don't want God's way. And they don't want to acknowledge that sin brings forth death. But you have to. You've got to understand. These lepers understood that they had a problem. These lepers understood that the greatest problem in their life was leprosy, a picture of sin. And the reason they had leprosy was because of sin. Sin manifests itself in different ways. In different ways. And it brings forth death. But have a look at this. Revelation 20 verse 14, and death and hell will cast into the lake of fire. Notice this phrase here. This is the second death. You say, what's the first death? Well, the first death is when we die. Our heart stops. Our body goes back to the dust of the ground. You know, when God created Adam, he created him from the dust of the ground. And the Bible says he breathed in his nostrils and Adam became a living soul. He's a living soul. God created him as an eternal being. He would live forever. Whether it would be in heaven or hell, that's another matter. But God created him to live an eternal existence. God never created him to die and be worm food. He's more than dirt. The first death is when you give up the ghost and your body goes back to the dust of the ground. The second death is when you're outside of God and you reject God, and you reject his gift and his forgiveness, and you end up in a place called hell. That's what the Bible says. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's because of sin. That's because of our problem. But we're going to also see, how does a person escape the curse of death? Thank God for that, amen? There's a cure, and this is what the gospel is called. The gospel is the good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. Imagine a cancer patient hearing that there's a cure for cancer. How excited would they be? I guarantee you, there's no cure. They're fighting it, and they're battling this sickness. And this, I mean, how do you think these lepers felt when they saw Jesus? They would have heard about what he can do for them. And that was said, you know, there was 10 of them were yelling together. We'll see that in a moment. Calling for help. How does a person get right with God? How does a person enter into the kingdom of God? Well, before we get to the solution, I want you to see something. A lot of people, and this is the most common one, a lot of people think that they're going to get to God or get to heaven through good works. That's your common answer to the question, if you die today, where would you go? They'll say, oh, I'm going to heaven. And you say, why? And they'll say, well, because I'm a good person. I do good things. That's your common one. Now, the Bible says here in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, the Bible says. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. No matter how good you are or how good you try to be, it is not enough to get to God. Remember, you fall short because of your sin. Second of all, the law. A lot of people think, if I keep the law, keep the Ten Commandments, then I can get to heaven by, doing my best to not steal and not commit adultery and not use God's name in vain. But James talks about that if you offend one part of the law, then you're guilty of all. So if you have broken one part of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty and it's done. In other words, if you were to get to heaven, you'd have to keep the Ten Commandments perfect and never break it, not one time in your life. Have you ever done that? I haven't. I'll fail straight away, hands down, first question. Have you ever lied before? Have you ever stolen something, cheated on your tax, downloaded something that you shouldn't have that was copyrighted? Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever said, oh my, we failed already. There's no way in the world we can get to God by keeping the law. And by the way, Paul the Apostle said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ didn't die for nothing. He died for a purpose. We're going to see that in a moment. But there's another one here that people try to do to get to God, and that's experience. People think if they go through an experience, I ask people sometimes, if you would, you know, I would ask them this, are you saved? Do you know for sure that you're saved and you're going to heaven? I said, absolutely. I said, how? When did you get saved? And they'll give me a story how they got saved from a car accident. And because they got saved from a circumstance in life, they thought they're going to go to heaven. Now, let me say this to you. Were there 10 lepers cleansed? We're going to only see that one was saved. 9 of them had an experience. They had some kind of healing. And I don't doubt that God doesn't heal people, but that's not salvation. That's God's gift to that person to say, your greater need is your sin problem. And a lot of people focus more on the physical healing and they forget about the greatest disease called sin that's taken them to hell. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Then a certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. They want to see a sign. They want to see a miracle. A lot of people want to see miracles today. They want to see some sort of supernatural thing in order for them to, you know, believe in God. And look at verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now Jonah was in the fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. This is pointing to Christ. Christ was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and he rose again. You know what? You said the only sign you're going to get is Jesus Christ. I'm the, you know, and people want a miracle. They want some sort of healing to believe. They want an experience, if you will. I say to someone, do you have a testimony? Are you saved? And they'll give me an experience that they went through, or they perhaps saw a six-foot Jesus in their room. They saw a vision. But that's not salvation, my friend. That's an experience that maybe God can use to draw you to the truth that will make you free. But then we see religion. This is a big one also. Religion. This one was a big one for me and my whole family, as a matter of fact. I was so religious and lost. I was an altar boy at one stage. Oh man, we'd do all the candles and lighting incense and this and that. We'd do all the different praying the rosary beads at one stage. And you know what got my mum's attention was Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. What the will of the Father is that you believe in the Lord Jesus. And many will say to me that day, but Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we preach in your name? That's scary. Imagine how many preachers are going to go to hell because they never received Christ as their Savior. They thought preaching will get them to heaven. No, it can't get you to heaven. But did we not cast out devils in your name that had some sort of experience? Did we not do many wonderful things, good works? What did he say to them? This is four words that you never want to hear in your life. And he said, I will profess unto them, what? I never knew you. And another three words, depart from me, that you never want to hear. Imagine hearing that when you get to heaven. Imagine someone thinking they get to heaven because they're a good Catholic, good Muslim, good Buddhist, good Christian. Can't get you to heaven. There's no such thing. It's religion. And you hear that today. Well, what if you're a good this or a good that? Not even a good Christian can get to heaven. I was a good Christian by name, but never saved, never cleansed inside out. Yep, I had wonderful works, but never born again from above, never knew the Lord until 15 years ago. And then God's provision for sinners. Notice verse 13 and 14 in our text. And they lifted up their voices, the 10 lepers, and said, Jesus, Master, look at this. Have mercy on us. Can you understand what's taking place here? They're saying this in unison. I don't know how far they had to be. Didn't really study it out, but they probably were a bit far. And maybe it began with one of them, maybe the one that got cleansed, yelling, saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he can't hear him. Guys, let's say it together. Maybe he can hear us. Kind of picture it that way. And they're saying it at the same time. They're desperate. They're desperate. Jesus, have mercy on us. And the Bible says in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now that meant in that day, if you were a Jew and you had leprosy, only the priest can deem you cleansed. He'll look at your leprosy, and if he sees you getting well and clean, he can then tell the people in that society he's cleansed. He can go back into the community. He can be accepted in the society. And as they went their way, they realized as they were walking, they were cleansed. God's provision. The wages of sin is death. But what's the gift of God? Eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to God. Not through good works, not through the law, not through religion, not through some sort of experience, but Jesus and what he did on that cross. You know what Jesus did on that cross? Jesus shed his blood on that cross for your sin. Jesus suffered and died. You know why he suffered and died the way he did? 6 hours of pain and shame he endured on that cross. You know why? Number one, God hates sin and he has to judge it.
And he was judging his son. The judgment was on his own son for our sin. You know why God hates? You know why the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ was so brutal? Because he didn't want us to go to hell. There is a place called hell. And he went through hell so you don't have to go to hell. And you know why the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ was manifested? Listen, God loves you. And he was paying the price of sin, which is death, with his own blood for you. And that's the only way that you can be cleansed from your sin and you can be forgiven from your sin is through Jesus and nothing else. It's not what you do, it's what he did. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, only through Jesus Christ. Notice what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now is Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. The only way that you can have your hand gripped with the hand of God is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the only way. Jesus is the only mediator. Notice 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is only one God and only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. There's no other way. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love. He demonstrated his love toward us. And that while we're yet sinners, listen, Christ died for us. The only way that God can have mercy upon your soul is through Jesus Christ. The only way that these lepers can be not only cleansed but forgiven is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. We're saved by his mercy. There's no other way. God's mercy upon us. And then we see, what's going to be your response to God's gift? You know, there's always two, in general sense, there's always two responses. Always. When Jesus was crucified among two thieves, one thief received Christ, the other one rejected Christ. There's always two responses to God's goodness. And we see in our text, in verse 15, in one of them, when he saw, one of them, when he saw, that's important, when he saw that he was healed. Now, can I ask you something here this morning? Do you really see how much God loves you and how much he's forgiven you by giving his son, the Lord Jesus, for you? Do you see it? The nine never saw it. They took it for granted. They wanted what you call the friend's benefits. They want, give me, God, you owe me, see you later. But no, when he saw it, what did he do? He turned back. You know, that's what the grace of God ought to do in someone's life when you see it. When you see how much God loves you, how much he cares for you, and how he doesn't want you to suffer, and he doesn't want you to be judged, and he doesn't want you to go to hell, it should cause you to turn to him. It should cause you to turn to God. And with a loud voice, he wasn't ashamed. He was not ashamed, did not care about what people thought of him. He was so thankful. With a loud voice, glorified God. He fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. That's the first response. And the Bible says, Luke 17:19. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way. What does it say here? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Because he put his faith in Jesus Christ, he was able to be forgiven. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, by grace are you saved. What's God, what's grace? That's God's gift. That's God's love. By grace are you saved. How? What through? Faith. That's believing God is good. And that's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him. Not of works. Makes it very clear. Remember, we spoke about this. Mankind always wants to do something to merit God's favor, but you cannot. It's what Jesus did. It's God's grace. He sent Jesus on the cross.
There's nothing that you can do to add to the finished work and the perfect work of Jesus Christ. You can't add to that. It's perfect. It's good. It's God's grace. It's a gift. And you receive it by faith and you say, thank you, Lord, like that cleansed leper. Thank you, Lord. That's all. That's all. He was a thankful leper with a loud voice. Wasn't ashamed. He was with a loud voice. He thanked the Lord. Wasn't ashamed. And have a look. We'll see. In John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, by faith, by grace are you saved through faith. But can I just say this? Not any faith will do. Majority of the people would say, I believe in Jesus. You ask those 9 lepers if they believed in Jesus. I'll say, absolutely, I believe in Jesus. I got cleansed. He healed me. You know how many people believe in Jesus worldwide? But not any faith will do. You cannot have a devil's faith. You know the devils believe in God? In James chapter 2, verse 19, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know the devil's doing better than your average atheist today? The atheist that says there is no God? The devil's doing a bit better than them today. The devils believe that there's one God, but do they follow Jesus? Absolutely not. They're the enemies of the cross. They reject him. So you can't have this faith like a devil. That's not going to save you. And you can't have a faith like these 9 lepers. That's not going to save you. Look what the Bible says. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Absolutely. But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God, to give glory to God, save this stranger? I thought there were 10. Yeah, there were 10. But only one was made whole. One was saved and one was forgiven. The other ones were just cleansed. But they weren't saved. They were healed. They were shown grace by God. And by the way, God shows grace every day to mankind. You know, without rain, we cannot live. Did you know that? You can live a long time. You can live a maybe about a, I don't know how long on food, but you can't live without water. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, God's good to you every day. But just because God's good and you believe in him and you believe that Jesus died for you, that's not enough. You know how many people celebrate Christmas and Easter? But that's not enough. I used to be one of those people. I believe in Jesus. I believe the virgin birth. I believe Jesus was God. But I wasn't saved. I believe that he did good things. But I wasn't forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. You can't have the faith of these 9 lepers. By the way, you notice these words? They are not found that return to give God the glory, save this stranger. Remember, he was a Samaritan. So what's the difference? That will indicate to us that perhaps the other 9 were Jews. Okay? They were supposed to know God. If anyone was supposed to know God, it should have been them. And the Samaritan were not, quote unquote, that religious. He was a stranger, if you will. And he made it quite clear that this stranger got saved. How? Because he gave God the glory. He gave thanks to the Lord. It wasn't lip service. It was absolute worship before God. You know what a true Christian is? He's a true worshiper of God. He's not a fake and a phony. Doesn't give lip service, gives heart service. Did you know that you might find people in heaven that you thought would never make it, and you'd see them there? Huh? What are you doing here? I think it'd probably be a little bit like that.
Because, you know, a person when he's living in the dumps and he's got sin in his life, he's more prone to repent because he sees his leprosy in disgust. But when someone's religious and they're pretty much a good person, it is harder for them to come to the Lord. Jesus said to the Pharisees that the harlots, the publicans and the sinners will enter into heaven and you won't. You know why? Because they thought the law was going to get them to heaven. They thought the good works was going to get to heaven. They thought, listen, the Christian going to church will get them to heaven. The Christian getting baptized and saying a prayer one day will get them to heaven. Sorry, my friend. Those that are true worshippers of God are going to go to heaven. Those that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, they're not phonies. They're genuine worshippers. They're not ashamed of God, and they're not ashamed of the gospel. They're not ashamed. Notice what he says in John chapter 1. The Lord says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What kind of faith is God talking about? Genuine faith that brings a person to worship God, to be at his feet. Not someone that says, oh yeah, you know, I know Jesus, oh, I'm a Christian, and lives like the devil. That's why Joshua in his testimony, probably you would have assumed that he probably wasn't saved in some part of his years. And perhaps rightly so. But thank God for his mercy. That people can turn back and realize, you know what, I've been saved. God has been good to me. You know, this can happen two ways. It can happen to someone that hasn't trusted Christ as their Savior and turn back and worship God and thank God and praise God. And it can even happen to that drifting one that is backslidden. You can always turn back and realize how God's been to you, how good he's been to you. But you know what the other nine lepers wanted? Listen, don't miss it. You know what they wanted? They wanted to be accepted in society. They wanted to go show themselves to the priest, and the priest give them a stamp of approval, and you're accepted in society. Listen, my friend, the only stamp of approval that you can get to be accepted before God is what God stamps in your heart by the Spirit of God. And if you're going to go to some religious person and they're going to say, oh, you're saved, you did well, we went. No, that's not good. That's not good. Don't go to a religious person for assurance of your salvation. Go to Jesus. He's the greatest analysis. You want to know whether you're saved or not? Go to him and he'll let you know. You want to know if you're right with God? Go to Jesus and he'll let you know. Don't go to some guy or some mediator over there that wants to glory in your flesh, wants to make you hear some things. Maybe you're doubting your salvation. You know what's the worst thing that takes place when people doubt their salvation and a man gives them their assurance? Have you ever occurred to you that they're probably not saved? That's probably why they're doubting and doubting and doubting. Have you instructed them to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you show me my heart. Am I right with you? Or am I a phony? Am I saved? Am I religious? Lord, you show me. And I guarantee you, you have a broken heart, he will. But don't let man justify you. They'll do a terrible job. Go to Jesus. He'll give you the right analysis. And he'll give you joy. And he'll give you peace. And he'll say, go your way now. Go. And you know what that leper would have done? Would have went on his way glorifying God. And you wouldn't be able to shut his mouth. Yeah, he'll probably become one of those Jesus freaks. You know what they call you? Oh, I'd rather be a Jesus freak than a Hollywood freak. Amen? Yeah, rather be a Bible-believing Christian than one of these textbooks in the university tell me I'm a monkey. I'd rather go to God and say, God, thank you for making me. My fingerprints don't match anybody in this room. Your fingerprints don't match mine. You know what? That's God's mark on you, that you're unique. And he made you, and that's his mark on you, saying, I love you, and I want a relationship with you. And he died for it. Notice what happens to these nine lepers. The wicked shall be turned into where? Hell.
And all the nations that what happened? That what? That's what happened. They forgot God. They forgot God. And the Bible makes it very clear that one of them was saved. Where are the other nine? Weren't there 10 cleansed? Yes, they were. But the other nine were selfish and forgot about God. Selfish. Selfish. Is selfishness the greatest problem? No. It's a result of sin. That's our greatest problem. And when we come to Jesus, He's the cure. He cleanses us from inside out. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit of God that helps us live not a selfish life. Helps us to be more like Jesus day by day. Day by day. As you fall in love with Him, notice this verse here. Jesus said, Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye what? Repent. Ye shall all likewise perish. What a shame for these nine not turning back to give God the glory for His goodness. You know, God has been good to us. You know what happened? In verse 16, and we're done. We're almost finished. The purpose of our existence, this man fell down at his face, this thankful leper, and at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. You know what was happening? The purpose of life was coming back into this guy's life. And Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You know what happened to that thankful leper? The purpose of life was fulfilled in his life. He was in the right posture. He was in the right place of his life, giving God glory at his feet, thanking God for his life, thanking the Lord. You know, God didn't create you or me to give self glory. He didn't create you to fulfill your dreams and have your career and build your successes. You have responsibilities, but God never created you to live outside of His will. He wants to be in the center of the life that He gave you. We were created for His pleasure. By the way, you'll only find fulfillment in the will of God and glorifying God. not in your work. In the will of God. Not in what you want to do. Not being accepted in society, but in the will of God. You won't find pleasure serving self. You'll only find pleasure serving God. The devil tried to tempt Jesus. And he said, I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me. And you know what Jesus said? I only worship one God, and only Him will I serve. Not for anything in this world, my friends. Don't worship the money. Don't worship the pleasures of this life. Don't worship your books. Don't worship all the things that you are able to do. Worship God with your life. And that's the reality of life. And that's what God wants to cleanse. God doesn't only want to forgive us and send us to heaven. Listen, God wants us to live to bring glory to Him through the life that we live here on earth. Did you hear that? So I urge you, if you say you're a Christian but you don't worship God and give Him thanks and praise God with your life, then maybe you can return and come back. And maybe here, if you're a Christian and you say, I am a Christian, but I haven't been walking like I should, I know I'm saved. I want to come back and worship God. And listen, I don't care if I do it with a loud voice. I'm not ashamed. And when I'm sold out and surrendered, I'm not going to feel guilty about it because others don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to. That's their problem. I want to. Because, oh, mate, to much is given, much is forgiven. Mate, I love much. Remember, I was down here. But if you're down here and you've done a lot, you can understand how much you've been forgiven. And you say, Lord, do what you want with this life. You've forgiven me much. But even the vilest offender, like Paul the Apostle, that was a murderer, realized that he's been forgiven much. He was a religious man, the chief of sinners, yet loved the Lord and worshipped God with his life. So what's a Christian? He's a worshipper of God. And John chapter 4, the Bible talks about that there'll be a time that there'll be true worshippers. Listen, true worshippers that will worship God in spirit and in truth, not manufactured. For 24 years, my Christianity was manufactured. Please, I beg you, turn from your good works. Turn from the law. Turn from your experiences. Turn from your religion and get saved by the blood of the Lamb and enjoy a true relationship with God. Not a fake and a phony, a true relationship with Jesus. We all need it in these last days. May God help us. Amen. Let's pray.